You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon and welcome into the gym class, everyone. Great to have you aboard here today, or right now anyway, on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. Scott Udash with you. Mark Dukes from his back porch on the southwest side will join me coming up here in just a couple of moments. Buttons on the other side of the glass, and of course, you out there. And thank you very much for joining us as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour, also available on KGYM radio, on the stream, KGYM mobile app, and your smart speaker. We've got girls' state basketball action in Des Moines going on right now on 106.3 FM, as Iowa City West just underway with Waterloo West in a 5A quarterfinal. As soon as that game is finished, we'll rejoin up with Todd and Alex. They are on from 4 until 6 o'clock with the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn right here on KGYM. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you. That is also our phone lines as well. Again, 319-366-1600. Good show coming up. Mike Halas will join us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Sports columnist, covers the Iowa basketball team. Iowa finishes the tough stretch in Ann Arbor and Columbus at 1-1, and I think Hawkeye fans would take that, but we're going to find out about it from you out there. Again, 319-366-1600. We'll talk about that as well as the weekend that was in the world of sports and get you updated on what's happening in Des Moines at the girls' state basketball tournament. And Mark, good afternoon. Sounds like it's going to be a very rare, nice weather week for the girls' state basketball tournament.
Yeah, that's good. Good afternoon, guys. Good afternoon, everyone. A lot on my prep sheet today, Scott, as I know on yours as well, but some things just a tad more important than others. Or relevant, or what?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on today. It was a very interesting weekend in the world of sports. I think that is the way we can describe it, certainly. And let's start with the big story, and that, of course, is the Iowa men's basketball team, as Iowa goes to Columbus and comes away with a very, very convincing victory yesterday, basically led start to finish. And you know, you and I were texting back and forth with one another yesterday, and I think we were both in agreement that other than about 2 minutes and 45 seconds at the start of the second half, I think that was Iowa's best overall game that they played in the 2020-2021 season. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I think it was. I tried to rack my brain given the circumstances of a better, more complete victory, and I can't find anything. You know, winning it by 30 at Michigan State was amazing, but we know what Michigan State is this year. Listen, you're on the road yesterday against the number 4 team in the country without one of your top reserves, Jack Nungy, and facing an onslaught at the beginning of the second half, and the resiliency of this Iowa basketball team from that point on. I mean, it only allowed 15 points in the last 17 minutes after Ohio State closed it to 2. And I'm hard-pressed to look at any of the 8 players who saw the floor for Iowa and say much of anything negative. I mean, 19 assists, 5 turnovers. We can go up and down the lineup of the guys who contributed, and all made big contributions, I thought.
They did. Just an amazing game for Iowa defensively. The offense was very, very good as well. Just go up and down the line. Luka Garza, terrific game. 10 of 16 yesterday. 2 of 3 from 3. Just did so many good things yesterday in that one. Double-double for him. Jordan Bohannon, 8 points, did a lot of things right. C.J. Frederick, numbers didn't show up in the book real big, but he did a lot of things very, very well. And Joe Wieskamp, 19 points. He really came through in the clutch, hit some big threes. And then off the bench, Keegan Murray, a terrific all-around game for Keegan Murray, except for he was on the wrong end of the absolute worst call in college basketball this year on that block. Oh, my goodness. And I know Kenyon was being a dad, but I know Kenyon Murray tweeted that out, our friend of the show and friend of ours. And my goodness gracious, that wasn't even close.
It was a great block. Come on.
It was a great block. It left Raft speechless on the call. But Iowa wins at 73-57. It got a little precarious there at the beginning of the second half. Give Ohio State credit. They came out and they changed their game plan. They attacked with the guards and got it into single digits. As far as the start of the second half was concerned. But then Iowa came back, hit some big shots, and started to pull away and got it to 73-57 for the victory. And like I said, if you would have said 1-1 for this Iowa basketball team on the trip to Ann Arbor and Columbus, I just don't know who would not have. I mean, yes, you want to go 2-0. You always want to strive for the best. I understand that, but my goodness, you cannot dismiss 1-1 on that road trip.
No, not at all. And Iowa now has positioned itself very well for a double bye in the Big Ten Conference Tournament, which is huge. And it's not locked up yet by any means, but two winnable home games coming up with Nebraska, which poor Fred Hoiberg, his leading scorer, decided to leave the team. Nebraska comes to town on Thursday, and Iowa finishes with Wisconsin. Could finish 14-6 in the league and get that double bye, which, again, would be huge. And as far as the Ohio State game, let's not forget about Jordan Bohannon setting the all-time assist record. And it's been a point of debate, Scott, and you've seen Jordan as much as anybody in town. People saying he's not a point guard. He's not this. He's not that. Well, assist records are often established by point guards. And while he may not be the classic, the quickest point guard, he's been a tremendous asset to this program. And it's good to see him get that record. And final 2 points, and you touched on him, Joe Toussaint, 7 assists.
Oh, he was good.
In 14 minutes. I mean, he played one of his best games, if not the best game, of the season. And Keegan Murray, you know, early on, somebody dubbed him Nick Bear 2.0. Maybe it was Garza. I can't remember. And I said, man, that's a little early for that. But game in, game out. I don't even need to look at his line in the box score, Scott, and you don't either. It's the 50-50 balls that he comes up with or keeping possessions alive. With tips or getting in the passing lane, help defense, so many things that, once again, and it's a cliche, it doesn't show up in the box score, but it's so very true of this freshman.
It is. And getting back to Joe Toussaint, one of his best games he has had in a long, long time. And the difference was he attacked again. He got to the rim. And he's not going to make it every time. He's not a jump shooter. But when he sits out there and just dribbles on the perimeter, that's not Joe Toussaint. He also got after it defensively in the game. And I just thought he was absolutely brilliant yesterday.
I think defensively even more so. When he dove for that ball that was, you know, fluttering around out by the midcourt line and forced to tie up, That wasn't a play of the game, but it demonstrated how well he played.
319-366-1600 as we come your way here on the Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. 106.3 FM right now with girls state tournament basketball. And after the first quarter, hey, West is leading, Mark.
Oh,
you want more specifics? Iowa City West leading Waterloo West 12-11 after the first quarter of play. So we'll keep you updated on that. And we'll talk more about Iowa coming up against Ohio State with Mike Halas here in just a little bit. But some great games at the girls state basketball tournament. One amazing game earlier on today, and just give you the scores from Class 5A so far here today. You had in game number one was not much of a game. It was Waukee all over West Des Moines Dowling, 60-37. They led 41-14 at halftime. So Waukee, number one rated, will move on. They're going to take on number five, Ankeny Centennial. Centennial was down double digits. You never count out Scott DeYoung, the great coach for Centennial. Came back, and I'm sure that you are going to see on Scott Van Pelt's late Sports Center tonight in the top 10, the play that won the game for Ankeny Centennial at the buzzer. I mean, just nano fractions of seconds before the buzzer went off. Centennial did a sideline break like to almost perfection. And man alive, Dick Breitbach Sr. is smiling somewhere. Here around at his home or wherever the case is here in eastern Iowa. But they ran that thing to perfection, got it up the sideline, got it underneath, and just beat the buzzer and won 47-45 over Southeast Polk. So it'll be Waukee and Centennial. And then in the other quarterfinal, just ahead of this one, it was Johnston holding off Cedar Falls 71-64. It was a fun game. Cedar Falls with the threes. And the guard play against Johnston with the University of Iowa signee, the Urbandale transfer coming in at the post. And they just had a little bit too much height for Cedar Falls, and Johnston won it 71-64. So they will take on either Iowa City West or Waterloo West. But I don't know if you got to see that play at the end. That was pretty amazing.
I've watched it multiple times, and not only the game-winning basket, but the game-tying basket.
Yes.
For Southeast Polk, that was oddly tipped in for a different angle, maybe an opponent's hand. I don't know. But, yeah, that sideline play, had there been replay in high school basketball, number one, one of the Centennial girls appeared to step out of bounds. And number two, as you mentioned, did that final shot get off before the clock expired? Doesn't matter. There isn't any replay.
Nope.
In high school basketball.
Goes down as a win for Centennial in that one. Of course, coming up tonight, we've got more tournament basketball for you. We've got boys 3A sub-state final basketball on 107.5 and 106.3 FM coming your way tonight. Myself and Phil Dunn are going to make the trip up to Maquoketa as soon as we are done here on the Gym Class. It'll be Solon and Monticello going at it. And Monticello, number two rated, unbeaten. Number nine, Solon, with only two losses on the year. And that one should be a dandy from Maquoketa tonight. 6:45 is our pregame times. Then, coming up tomorrow, we've got more boys substate basketball for you at 6:45, 107.5 FM. We will be up in Waterloo, as it will be Cedar Falls and the Washington Warriors going at it. 106.3 FM at 6:45 will be over in the Quad Cities at Bettendorf, as it'll be Liberty and Pleasant Valley going at it. And then on Wednesday, girls state tournament coverage back with you at 11:45 on 106.3 FM. It'll be West Branch and Grundy Center. And then it will be Steve Dozer and I down at the Well for Springville and Algona Garrigan. And that will be right after that at 2 o'clock. So everything is on time right now. Could have been off kilter due to the overtime, but there was no overtime. So good start to the tournament, I guess.
Yeah, it is. And by tomorrow evening, close the business, then the boys' tournament will be set. Kennedy also looking for a state tournament trip, among others. So quickly winding down in the high school ranks.
319-366-1600. 71-76 in the text line. Are you kidding? 1-1 on the road against top four teams? Take it. Take it. Take it. Yes, I would agree. I would agree. 31-66. Iowa's very good. They can beat any team, as they showed, but are they championship level? I don't know. As you saw, they need to play lights out each game instead of playing their normal selves. They played lights out yesterday, and that was a big victory. Iowa moves up to number 5, by the way, in the AP poll. For what that is worth today.
0945 on the text line. The Hawks started the second half in a zone, but Fran got them out of it to stop the run. Yeah, that zone is not the best strategy most of the time.
9663, I have no idea the answer to your question. I really think if Iowa wins the next two Big Ten games and gets in the finals of the Big Ten tournament, they will get a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. I think a lot depends on how Baylor does, how Michigan does, among others. We'll see. We shall see.
Yeah, that's a subject of our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City, thanks to Steve Anderson and his team there. Which men's basketball team is more likely to end up as a number one seed? Would it be Iowa or Illinois? Number one seed in the NCAA tournament, that is. Interesting question. Illinois has a couple really tough road games coming up. Iowa, we outline Wisconsin and Nebraska to close the season. It depends on what some other teams do.
Here comes
Kansas
Purdue.
Taking down Baylor. Kansas taking down Baylor. Should Baylor stumble again? Who knows?
Here comes Purdue. Just saying.
That's very true.
Just saying. The Boilermakers are coming in a big, big way. So we'll see. Yeah, it's going to be fun. Big Ten tournament's going to be a blast. Tournaments are underway this week in earnest as far as college basketball is concerned. The Missouri Valley will have their tournament, Arch Madness, coming up at the end of the week. And you and I did what they had to do. They just didn't get enough help as far as getting a first-round bye. So they played Illinois State twice last weekend, beat them twice, and now they got to play them again in the first round in a 7-10 matchup. So, yeah, we'll see. That's tough. I mean, they're going to be they're playing better basketball as of right now, the Panthers are, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, and Drake securing the number 2 seed. In that tournament, it's always fun, Arch Madness, but Missouri Valley Football Conference gave the basketball conference a run for its money over the weekend.
Oh, brother. Yeah, the Bison didn't get beat. The Bison got beat soundly for the first time in a long, long time.
39-game winning streak snapped by Southern Illinois, 38-14. The Bison go down. You and I with the dominating shutout victory over Youngstown State. Congratulations to Mark Farley, becoming the first league coach to win 100 conference games. And number 7 Illinois State went down against South Dakota. So
South Dakota's good, though.
Excuse me?
South Dakota is a good team, though.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
319-366-1600 at 323. As we join you on the Monday edition of the program, Mike Loss will join us coming up here in just a couple of moments as we will talk about Iowa and Ohio State with him. Is this breaking news? No, not so much. Caitlin Clark, Big Ten Freshman of the Week in women's basketball, but she was also the regular player of the week as far as the Big Ten is concerned.
Well, this was obviously already heady stuff for this freshman from West Des Moines. She was also named today one of 5 finalists for the National Nancy Lieberman Award, which goes to the top women's point guard in the country. Now, Connecticut's got a dandy that I know is in the final 5 as well, but She's doing head-shaking stuff week after week after week. Didn't have a lot of points yesterday against Wisconsin in a road victory. I mean, what'd she have, 18 or 19? But she also had 14 assists. So she can do a lot of things.
Yeah, she can. And just amazing, amazing stuff from her. And cannot forget about the women. And the UNI women, led by Kay Balaubi, the Marion grad, with a new team record as far as threes are concerned. So congratulations to the Panthers and Kaba. And the Kirkwood women's basketball team is a newly minted National Junior College number one as of today. So we got a lot of basketball to celebrate in the area.
Well, we do indeed, and it's not unfamiliar territory for Kirkwood, that's for sure. But we'll see if the Eagles can maintain that lofty, lofty perch.
Yep. 319-366-1600. As we come your way on a Monday edition of the program, you can get in touch with us via the text line at 319-366-1600. A lot of Iowa basketball talk on there, as you might well imagine, as the Hawkeyes move up to number 5 as far as the AP poll is concerned, and coming off the win against the Ohio State Buckeyes. As we are now, by the way, happy March to everybody out there. It is now, we can officially call it March Madness, Mark.
That sounds awful good to me.
It
does. February, a tough February put behind us. Let's hope March is a much, much better month.
Well, at least the temperatures are better. Let's start things off. No doubt about that. And a few other things that we can definitely talk about. One passing over the weekend that we should address, and that is legendary broadcaster Irv Cross passing away over the weekend. Of course, Irv was the first prominent African-American as far as NFL coverage is concerned on the NFL Today. He was part of the super team on the NFL Today with Brent Musburger, Jimmy the Greek, and Phyllis George. And now, of course, we lost Phyllis a couple years ago, and now Irv Cross is gone. And, of course, Jimmy the Greek gone as well. But Irv Cross was a darn good journalist.
And a darn good player before that. He was kind of the straight man in that foursome. Of course, Jimmy the Greek had a falling out at the end. But back, Irv Cross worked for CBS for 20 plus years, and you don't see that all too often. But that was must see TV before the game started on Sundays in the NFL. It was before the NFL Network. It was before Fox and its show and whatnot. It was the pregame show that you had to see.
Yeah, no doubt. It was. You are looking live. At the various stadiums that CBS was broadcasting from as far as the day and age was concerned. And by the way, CBS was doing the NFC back then, as you very well know, Mark. Bears games were on CBS instead of Fox. That all changed when they came aboard. 58-23 on the text line. Not surprised Iowa beat Ohio State. They very well could have beat them at home. Yes. Doug Gottlieb thinks the Hawkeyes are worthy of a number 5, doesn't think Iowa is worthy of a number 5 ranking. Well, that's Doug's opinion.
No, he may be right. We'll see. But it is what it is right now.
57-13. Yes, we can address this. Can we talk about the Youngstown State coach and his cheap shot on the UNI receiver after he was going out of bounds? Which got a lot of play on Saturday after it happened. I must admit, it took me twice watching that to see exactly what happened. But that's, and to be honest with you, I haven't dug too far into it. I have not heard anything as far as discipline is concerned, as far as that coach is concerned. But that that has strength and conditioning coach move on it from 8 miles away. Not the first one to get a cheap shot like that on somebody coming to the sideline on the opposite team, and will not be the last, unfortunately, but there's got to be some discipline coming to that coach.
No, there is, and he will not be on the sidelines the rest of the season.
Good, good.
He's issued an apology, and if you missed it, you and I, wide receiver, going over the middle, then running towards the Youngstown State sidelines, gets out of bounds, and this Youngstown State assistant gave him a shoulder or forearm shiver and knocked you and I's receiver to the ground. It was pathetic, and I'm sure, I'm not sure. I think the guy would like to have it back, but it was not a good look at all.
No, it was not. Definitely not a good look out there. But like I said, unfortunately, not the first time, not the last time that is going to happen. There at halftime in Des Moines, 27-27, Waterloo West and Iowa City West in a dandy tied up there. So it's on 106.3 FM with Eric and Miles down there in Des Moines at the girls' state basketball tournament. Eric sent me a photo of the digs this year as far as the broadcast is concerned. Up high this year, we're up in the wrestling area that they usually are inhabiting for the wrestling tournament week. I kind of like it. I kind of like it.
I thought you were a courtside guy.
I want either courtside or up high. I'm not in the middle.
Okay.
How's that?
Okay. You'll get her done either way.
We'll get her done either way. 319-366-1600. So they are at halftime. And, yes, thank you. Tim Johnson is the gentleman's name. Thanks, Todd. Thanks, Mark. Not permitted on the sidelines for the remainder of the season. Should not be. And probably pretty lucky that he still has a job, to be honest with you, out there. As I mentioned, we've got basketball coming up tonight, as it'll be Solon taking on Monticello in a great 3A sub-state final. And we'll have it at 6:45 tonight from Maquoketa on both 107.5 and 106.3 FM. We'll also have that for you at the Jim OT app and stream out there as well. Other pieces of news and notes before we get to a break and bring in Mike Colas of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. The Colin Morikawa wins yesterday, and the victory in the World Golf Championship down in Florida at Bradenton, as beats a star-studded field down there. And everybody, of course, remembering and acknowledging Tiger Woods yesterday, and some very out of the world discussion before that, as far as folks on social networking is concerned, with how everything should go about. But we'll see. It was good. It was good, and it was great to see the LPGA jump in. It was great to see all the golf tours from around the world do that as well. I don't know if it's going to happen every Sunday. I kind of think it probably shouldn't, because of the fact that it will probably lessen it a little bit. But we'll see. We'll see what happens at Bay Hill coming up this week.
Yeah, I have mixed opinions about it. I think that is a testimony to how players, some anyway, feel towards Tiger Woods and his influence on the game. Perhaps some got their start because of him, paid homage to him while he lays in the hospital with wearing red and black. Others didn't, chose to, you know, wear whatever they wanted to wear. And I thought it quite disturbing that some folks would criticize those that didn't wear red and black, you know, when it was their choice. I don't think Tiger Woods would criticize him, but he did issue a tweet that he was very appreciative of the concerns and support that he was receiving. And I hasten to say, by all the players, not just the ones that wore red and black.
Yeah. Well, good example. Billy Horschel put a TW on his hat. Here's the deal. And a lot of people that don't follow golf don't know this, but there are clothing deals with these pros as well. Not only clothing deals, but they also have to have certain logos in certain part on certain areas of the shirt that they wear. And Colin Morikawa is a perfect example. He had to have something made specifically and sent to Florida, did not get there in time, so he could not wear the shirt. And he was one of the folks that was criticized unnecessarily, I believe. And, you know, you just don't go to the pro shop. They were all saying, well, I just go to the pro shop and buy a red shirt off the rack. Well, it's not that easy when you have three or four different sponsors that, you know, have to be present as far as your wardrobe is concerned. I mean, that's just, that's 2021, man. That's 2021.
That's a good point. I want to get in one last text on the Iowa Hawkeyes from 7227. Maybe not the last. Iowa played like I hoped they would all year. Maybe the Michigan loss was a wake-up call, and they quit looking like they were sleepwalking.
1-1, we'll take it, I think. We're going to talk about that with Mike Halas coming up next, as he was in Columbus and in Ann Arbor for both of those ball games. And so we'll take a break at 3:35 here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Back with more after this for a Monday.
We know that we can count on Topaco to help us reach our dreams. They're always there for us. After my father had passed away, I'd gotten some of the guns. It just brought back memories of us going hunting Christmas morning, Thanksgiving morning. That was just time that I wished I had more of. You reflect on things and wished you could have done things different. I had time and I just completely took them apart. It just really intrigued me how the parts all worked together and everything. I enjoyed it. And that's when I started looking into gunsmithing schools.
Usually I'm the one with the dream and then he somehow makes it happen. So I called DePaco and I got a hold of Cassie and she found a way to make it happen. DePaco has always been there for us. So as soon as we got the loan, I knew that our future was going to go down a different path.
I think he'd be very impressed that I chose to go this route.
Your money for good. Learn more at DePaco.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
I'm Governor Kim Reynolds. COVID-19 isn't bigger than Iowans' resolve to overcome it. Together, we can stop the spread of the virus and get life back to normal by taking simple steps to protect ourselves and others. Wear a mask, social distance, wash your hands, stay home if you're sick, get tested, and isolate from others if you have the virus, and get a flu shot to prevent further illness. Doing these things will protect you and those most at risk. Let's step up and stop the spread together.
Sponsored by the State of Iowa and the Iowa Broadcasters Association in cooperation with this station.
You already know Network Computer Solutions protects your network and computers, but did you know they can also protect your business with a security system? NCS offers everything: camera systems, door access, key fob entrance cards, even 24-hour video surveillance. They understand how important security is to your work and your people, so they customize every element for you. For a free consultation and site review, call NCS at 247-7223. 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT and security puzzle.
The COVID-19 pandemic is the worst healthcare crisis of our lifetime. Hospitals, care centers, and their staff are overwhelmed, and it's getting worse. By now, we all know someone who's been affected by the virus. But there is hope. Vaccines are coming and getting closer every day. But while we wait for relief, you need to do your part. Wear a mask, wash your hands, and maintain your distance. It's for now, not forever. This message, sponsored by the Helmsley Charitable Trust, aired with the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
We welcome you back to the Gym Class here on KGYM, the Monday edition of the show. Coming up tomorrow, we are going to talk with our friend Dick Simmons, who is helping to put together can we still call it, Mark, the Division III National Wrestling Championships, or are they going with a different nomenclature? I mean, we'll find out tomorrow for sure, but Dick is the man in charge of it.
Yeah, instead of being sponsored by the NCAA, it's sponsored by the National Wrestling Coaches Association, and I'm sure Dick can fill us in more on that tomorrow.
Yep, going to do that coming up for you on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class program. Stay tuned. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is coming your way next right here on KGYM. And definitely looking forward to hearing what they have to say. And, of course, with wrestling news each week, we had it with the high school, and now with the colleges on Wednesday with Mark Ironside. That is brought to you by American Family Insurance agent Kurt Gustafson. He is located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Johnson Avenue High V. As, by the way, with Todd and Alex coming up, every weekday at 5 now is Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire. So find out more about that as well at KGYMradio.com. 1-1 on the road trips to Ann Arbor and Columbus. And we're going to talk about that and other things with Gazette sports columnist Mike Halas. You can read his stuff at thegazette.com. Give him a follow on Twitter at Halas, who joins us on Mondays here on the Gym Class. Very kindly joins us on Mondays. Did you, when I ask you, did you stay out east, Mike? You didn't come back between games, did you?
No. I lived in the Eastern time zone for a while.
Have you made the adjustment?
It's not like I came in from Belgium.
The Brussels Express. Nothing like that. The big question we've been asking, Mark and I definitely would take 1-1 as far as those two games, one against Michigan, one against Ohio State, both top five teams. Your thoughts?
Well, especially when you lose the first one. Then you would take 1-1. They needed to get one of those two. I think they did emotionally for Big Ten tournament seeding purposes, practically. And they got one. They were on CBS. They gave a great account of themselves, had a resounding win, and you saw how it affected AP top 25 voters around the country this morning. I mean, they shot up from 9th to 5th after losing a game by 22 points Thursday night. I haven't seen that one before.
Was it Iowa's best game of the year, Mike?
I think in no uncertain terms. Because of the team they were playing, the fact they were playing that team on the road, and the way they played at both ends of the court.
Other than about 2 minutes and 45 seconds at the start of the second half.
Well, I mean, you take a 40-minute game and against an offense that, if you hadn't seen them before, you wouldn't know this, but Ohio State has one of the most explosive offenses in America. You know, you take out those first 3 or 4 minutes of the second half, and that's just a sliver of the game. And Ohio State's going to have a run like that. I mean, it's almost impossible not to. The surprising thing is it didn't have a couple more. And it was just, it was quite simply, I mean, there's no excusing it. It was good defense. It really was.
I'm with you. I thought it was Iowa's best game of the year. Offensively, defensively, they've got so many contributions. Joe Wieskamp was terrific. Luca Garza was terrific.
All 8 players that played were.
Yeah, they really were. And I think we answered the question as well. Some people had speculated on the fact that is Iowa going to, you know, get more minutes for Perkins or more minutes for Euless? Will we see Chris Murray? But it was basically 8 that played for the Hawks.
Yeah, it's not similar to last year, but what happened last year when Iowa had injuries and lost players for the season is that the rotation shrank. And that's what's happened here. I mean, they've gone from 9 to 8. It's that simple. A few more minutes for Keegan Murray, who's already been playing a lot of minutes, and more minutes for Toussaint and Patrick McCaffrey. And Toussaint, I feel, is a better player when he knows he's going to be part of things. And yesterday he knew that. And a lot of times, how many minutes Toussaint gets in the second half, of course, is dictated by how he played in the first half. You didn't see him in the second half against Michigan, but he was very good in both halves yesterday. It was his best game of the year. And what he can do when he's, you know, playing at his pace, as McCaffrey says, is a big bonus. It's an added element to that team at both ends of the floor. So, I mean, you'd much rather have Nunji for the long haul. It's not even a debate. But You circle the wagons and you try to get more out of other people. And yesterday, the other people did give them more.
Mike, I wonder if you'd comment on Jordan Bohannon, his career coming to an end, becoming the all-time assist leader, in addition to three-point field goal leader. And we've heard the comments. We've gotten the comments. You've heard the comments. He's not a true point guard and this and that. Well, you don't get 600-plus assists without leading the way at the top of the offense, do you?
No. And this season, his ball handling has been, by and large, great.
Mm-hmm.
And by ball handling, I don't mean just protecting the ball, but also knowing what to do with it, putting it in the right places, in the right people's hands, getting to the right spots. I watch before every game while the team is doing its, you know, calisthenics-type exercises, he's off to himself for a significant portion of the time dribbling, working on dribbling exercises. And you've probably seen his videos in the summertime of the dribbling, all the different things he does to work on that. I think it's paid off. And he's, I wouldn't say quietly, but with Garza and Wieskamp, Bohannon gets his points some games, but other games not so much. That doesn't mean that he hasn't been just as significant in the games without them. And I thought yesterday was one of them. He and Toussaint, for 40 minutes, did a terrific job of running that show. And 615 assists is more than any Hawkeye ever. You don't really have to defend it. I mean, as whether the guy was a point guard or not, that statistic stands for all time, and it says this is a guy who did the job. And then if that's not enough for you, go ask Luka Garza. I mean, Garza is like his biggest fan, and will one of the first things out of Garza's mouth when you ask him about all the points he scored is the guards who've set him up, and he always names Bohannon immediately.
He's on the all-time quotable list too.
Yeah, I mean, he's sort of the team spirit animal. he's a free bird, you know. It's one of the reasons I like covering basketball. The players seem more independent. They seem less afraid of what they say. It's sort of a reflection of the sport, I think, compared to football. Football fancies itself as being militaristic and of being so regimented. Well, basketball's pretty regimented too, but it's also got more improvisation, and it's, I think it lends itself more to freedom, and that includes off the court.
Is Jordan Bohannon going to be one of those guys that's going to take 2 or 3 years, I think, for everybody, all Hawkeye basketball fans, to appreciate him? I mean, look at, you put 2 points or 3 points on all those assists. He's mm-hmm. over 300 three-pointers as far as the Big Ten is concerned. That's a lot of points that he is responsible for, and yet I don't know if there's a guy that is, at least for a while anyway, as far as Iowa basketball is concerned, that, you know, has gotten as much public opinion as Jordan has.
Yeah, it seems like, I don't know if this is the same way other places, but it seems like fans tend to eat their own. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Somebody who comes from their midst maybe can't be as good as somebody who came in from, you know, outside the region. It's like one of ours, and when I say ours, I don't mean to be parochial, but somebody who comes from our midst, Marion, Iowa, well, he can't be as good as somebody from Indianapolis or Dallas or Philadelphia, can he? Well, yeah, of course. Basketball players are every place. And do we really need to explain anymore about Cedar Rapids Marion as a place that produces basketball players?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. I mean, maybe other parts of Iowa have got some answering to do, but we don't. And that goes for Iowa City as well. I mean, Iowa City has certainly had its share. But, I mean, you've got in that eight-man Iowa rotation, you've got Bohannon and Keegan Murray. And Keegan Murray was great yesterday. I mean, he played lockdown defense on E.J. Liddell. And E.J. Liddell, I'm talking about the second half, E.J. Liddell is, to me, a first-team All-Big Ten player. I have yet to see him have a game when he wasn't really good, except yesterday in the second half when he kind of disappeared. And that was so much of that had to do with Keegan Murray. And on top of that, Murray's blocking shots of other players, and then the way he just instinctively shook free on that basket he scored in transition was, I don't think you can teach that.
Did get the worst call of the year in the Big Ten against him.
Yeah, I know. But sometimes refs just get calls wrong. I can make fun of refs with the worst of them, but at some point you got to cut them some slack. I know you are, Scott, and you've got as much sympathy for the officials as anybody. But okay, they blew a call. Right. And I've seen Wieskamp went to the line and missed two free throws yesterday. Guess what? He had a great game.
Yes, he did. Wieskamp was, and you can just name somebody up and down the list for Iowa, and they had a terrific game. And
the officials didn't have 13 turnovers like Ohio State did either.
Right, you know? And Iowa had five, you know.
Yeah.
Ohio State had two offensive rebounds the whole game, and that's been a problem for Iowa in a lot of their losses, is giving up too many offensive rebounds. Well, that's part of defense. I mean, you play good defense for 25 or 30 seconds, but you give up an offensive rebound, that hurts your defense something terribly because, you know, second chance, third chance points are killers. Ohio State didn't have any yesterday. And the 50-50 balls, I've told a couple of people in the last couple of weeks, it seems like Iowa never gets the loose balls. Well, yesterday, I don't know if the stat was accurate or not, McCaffrey said there were six of them yesterday and that Iowa got all six.
Yeah, that doesn't happen that often.
Probably five out of six by Keegan Murray.
Very possibly, you know. That's very possible.
Yeah. Mike Laws joining us here at 3:52 on the Gym Class on KGYM. Iowa now in a good position to get a double bye. You got to take care of business at home. 1-1 is great, but if you come home and slip up, and then it all goes out the window.
Right. I mean, they won 6 out of 10 on the road. They're 6-2 at home. They need to get to 8-2. If they win both games, they're going to get the number 3 slot in the tournament, the Big Ten tournament, and that's a good place to be. For multiple reasons. One of them is what you just said, that double bye. You go straight to Friday's quarterfinals. They haven't done that in forever in a year. And then also it gets you on the opposite side of the bracket from Michigan, so that if you wouldn't have to face Michigan until the championship game if it came to that. And you'd play 6 versus 11, the winner of the 6-11 game on Thursday. And I look at who the 6-11s are, and they're all competent, capable teams, but it's not like you're going to play Ohio State or Illinois or Michigan. You know, we're talking Wisconsin, Maryland, Rutgers, that collection. So you're giving yourself a chance, but they're going to beat Nebraska Thursday night. And then they'll play Wisconsin Sunday noon or so. And they may need to win that game to get that double bye. I don't know how the tiebreaker would work with them in Ohio State if they tied for fourth and Purdue was third. But let's just assume they need it. Well, just because they whomped Wisconsin up in Madison doesn't mean it'll happen again. But Wisconsin's not playing well. And if I was playing similarly to the way I played yesterday, I think it sweeps these two home games and gets that three seed, and then it's a different looking Big Ten tournament than Iowa's had in a long time.
Were you actually in Africa or just in the vicinity?
I went right through it. I never heard of it before. It's an unincorporated township just outside of Columbus. And I also passed by Climax, Michigan.
We'll leave that one alone.
All right, that's a good place to end it on.
It would be, before we let you go, Mike, it would be so amazing if fans would be able to be there Sunday and just say goodbye to whomever they need to say goodbye to. Yeah, could be playing their final game at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. I mean, Bohannon, yeah, you got to think that's the case. You got to think that's the case for Garza. You don't know about Wieskamp, but it's just, just to honor these guys.
Yeah. What I think they're going to have to do, and you don't know where these people will be a year from now, but I think you've got to figure something out next season to have a night for them. And, I'm sure it's doable some way, somehow. And that's just all there is to it.
What they did for the Miller six pack, right?
I wasn't around then.
And God bless Joe Nungy, Jack Nungy. Alive. Yeah. No one should go through what he's going through.
Yeah, no. But, it sounds pretty heartless to say it, but that's sports. I mean, it doesn't just happen at Iowa. There are stories like that where some guys just don't get breaks and, deserving is, it's like that line Clint Eastwood's character used in Unforgiven, deserving's got nothing to do with it. It just happens to people and it's crummy. He's a good guy and to come back from what he already came back from is pretty admirable. And to have that happen, I mean, I was there in Ann Arbor and I saw that look on his face. He knew what happened. He knew what he was going to be up against. He knew his season was over. And,
it's not fun.
Breaks your heart. But he can still come back, and I hope he does.
Mike, appreciate it. We'll have you back on Monday, and we'll talk about the Big Ten tournament.
All right.
All right. Mike Halas, read his stuff at thegazette.com. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Halas. Air through three at the Girls State Basketball Tournament. Waterloo West leading Iowa City West 43-37. That on 106.3 FM. They'll join up with us as soon as that game is completed. And we'll talk to Dick Simmons coming up on the Tuesday edition of the program. Mark, looking forward to that. Solon and Monticello for a trip to the Boys State Basketball Tournament tonight, 107.5 and 106.3 FM at 6:45 coming up tonight from Maquoketa. And a lot of good basketball. Great time of the year.
Yeah, it is. At least you've got good weather to travel in, and hope you have a great call tonight and then tomorrow and the next day.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? We're having a state tournament and they're doing everything right so far. And that's the bottom line of it. And we'll have a boys state tournament as well. And this thing will go full circle back to a Friday last year, the finals of the boys' state basketball tournament that had our first, no fans. And it's going to be very, very bizarre, certainly down there again, especially next week. All right, Mike, Mark, we'll talk with you tomorrow.
Talk to you then.
All right, stay tuned. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is coming your way next year on KGYM, and it includes Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire, now each weekday at 5 o'clock on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. We'll talk to you tonight for Solon and Monticello.
When we first came here, we missed my food from home. I thought Jamaican food would work really well.
We're talking with Robert McLean about his big journey.